There are times when it is easy to forget that we serve a God, a master, a creator, a Lord, a king, who is not far from us, who is not far away, who does not watch us from a distance, but instead we serve a God who is right here, with us, within us, watching us not from way, 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 way far away, but watching us right here. It is easy to forget at times that we serve a God who isn't distant from our concerns, isn't distant and blind and deaf to our needs and our worries and our frets and our fears. Indeed, we serve a God who does take us and hold us and love us and care for us. It is easy to forget it when the trials and tribulations of life hit us hard. It is easy to lose track of the glorious good news of the gospel, that we serve a God who came to live among us, whose very name, Jesus, means Yahweh saves, whose very title, Emmanuel, means the with us God, the God who is with us. It is easy in the difficult moments to forget the truth that the Scriptures proclaim to us, the truth that the Church proclaims and has proclaimed for 2,000 years, the truth that the Hebrew people knew and lived and experienced day after day after day, not just from burning bushes and columns of smoke by day and fire by night, but by the very presence of God in their midst in the temple in Jerusalem, on the Temple Mount, and indeed in the very abiding real presence of God incarnate in human flesh in Jesus Christ our Lord. It is easy to forget when the difficult times come, when you come outside after running to a grocery store for extra items for the Thanksgiving dinner that were forgotten, and you notice someone has tried to steal your car. Happened to me. I just got it back. Didn't I, Peggy? Monday. Just got it back from the repair shop, from a dent that I received, and someone decided to help themselves or try to force the passenger side door and resulted in a severe, horrible rip tear in the metal on the door frame and a smashed window in the process. And you know, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is not, well, one of the first things is God, but that's not what follows, isn't. It's what you want God to do to the person that did that, but it's not appropriate. It's not what you should say. I should have said, "Thank you, God, they didn't manage to steal the car. Thank you, God, there was nothing in it that they wanted to steal. Thank you, God, that I still have this means of transportation, this car that you've given me. Thank you, God, that all I have to do is get it repaired and it'll be all right." That wasn't the first thing that came out of my mouth, friends. It took about 2 days for me to get to that point. 2 days. To get to the point where I was willing to say, "Thank you, God, I still have the car." Now, I could say it with my lips, I knew it with my mind, but I didn't know it here, friends. It is easy to forget that we serve a God who is truly not only the God of all creation, the Master, the Lord of the ends of the earth, but also the God who sent His Son to die for us. It is difficult when things go wrong. Sometimes it is difficult to remember that God is here. we serve an amazing God. And we have today in the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse, this is one of the other names for it in history, a fantastic passage at the end of the reading where God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. My friends, we serve a God who is both right here, near to us, with us, within us, and that same God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, the A and the Z, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty One. We serve a God. We have as King of Glory, a Majesty who isn't just with us. He is, thank God, but He is also Almighty. And not only Almighty, but He is all things, knows all things, can do all things, and gives us all things. The concept of the Alpha and the Omega is not an easy one. And I need a... No, you're too easy. I'm not going to pick on you today. Let's see. Anne-Marie. Now, I'm not going to tie you up. I did that to Jim. I'm not going to do that to you. Here. Take one end and go over there. Wow. That's a long rope, isn't it? You can do a lot of things with this rope. You can jump rope. See? Come on, Jim. No, I'm kidding. You don't want to jump rope? No? Not in the rope. With insurance, yes. This is a neat little rope, isn't it? Actually, this is an illustration of how fat I used to be. This is the cincher I used to use to wrap around myself double. It's way too big now, isn't it? That's cool. Here, take that other end. All right, now, if I had an ant on this end of the rope, how's he going to get to Anne-Marie over there on the other end of the rope? He's going to crawl, but how? On the rope, from this end all the way over to the other end of the rope. Anne-Marie, that's a long rope, isn't it? And that'd be a long trip for an ant, wouldn't it? But what if the ant didn't have to go from this end, from the beginning of the rope, to the end of it? What if the ant could jump from this end to that end? Then he'd be a grasshopper. Not necessarily. Because you see, sometimes the shortest distance between two points is not a straight line. Huh? Yeah. We know from physics that the shortest distance is not a straight line, but in fact is a curve. Take the other end in the middle. Now, you see, those two points can come together, and the ant could jump across and not have to go the whole distance down the rope and the whole distance back up it. If we could bring both ends, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the A and the Z, together, the ant could cross over. Likewise, you could make it even shorter. Here, take the other end. You could have the whole rope done many ways. Here, take that end. And again, you could make the rope. Thank you. Thank you. I think she needs a hand. Thank you, Emily. You can have, if I could fold this up enough times, if I were that good, if I could fold it again and again and again and again, eventually I could get it down, folded enough, to one tiny little point. And then the ant would be standing on the whole rope, wouldn't it? That's one way to think about God the beginning and the end. You see, when we proclaim God as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, what we are doing is we are proclaiming that God, the Almighty One, is indeed both past, present, and future. He knows the past because He was there. He knows the present because He is here. And He knows the future because He will be there. But with God, these temporal senses, this was, is, and will be ideas are meaningless because they are all is to God. And there's actually a Bible for this, and I'll show it for you in a moment. For God, all things, all times, all moments, all instances on the rope, the timeline, if you will, from the past to the present to the future. Sean, I need you this time. Come up here. From the past to the present to the future, all instances, take the end. All instances are as one. Now I need another illustration. Susan, get up here and stand in the middle. Take the middle of the rope. Now, I am the past, Sean is the future, and Susan is the present, okay? Now, she's in the middle of the rope. Now, looking back towards me, you can see me, can't you? And you know all the things that have happened between me and you because you're in the present and you can see the past. But looking to the future, really, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. You can't see beyond your hand because you're in the middle and you don't know the future. God does. He sees the whole timeline from the past to the present and into the future. Okay? Not quite that, not because God so much is the rope. It's that God sees, here's the way I like to look at it. God sees the rope from a different perspective. If you're in God's perspective, God sees the rope this way. Sean, go back that way. Stand back over there. Stretch your line out. God sees the rope from on end. With every single event happening at the exact same moment, from the past to the present and on into the future. Every single event God experiences right now. As if it's right now. No past, no present, no future, but simply is now. That's a very deep thought, but it's not a new thought with me. Christians have been talking about time with God in this way for 2,000 years. For God, every moment that ever was, is, or will be, is right now. And God experiences it as if it's happening right now. From the life of Jesus, the birth of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, the Second World War, 9/11, today, next week, next month, next year, next decade, every single moment with God. The Alpha and the Omega and every letter on the alphabet in the Greek alphabet in between, the A and the Z, and every single letter, every single moment in between, God experiences as right now. We see time stretched out from side to side. We can see the past. We can't see the future, but God can. But we experience it this way, and we're moving along time. God sees it all as one instant, one moment. Thank you. And thank you. Now, that's all interesting and theoretical, and sometimes eyeballs. I remember one of the things I loved about Billy coming to Bible study was she always asked the very down-to-earth question, what does this matter? Why is this in the Bible? Why is this important? Why are we learning? I love those basic questions, Billy. And here's the answer for that. Taking a look at what Jesus says here. I am the Alpha and the Omega. He wasn't just playing around with the Greek alphabet here, which the first letter in the Greek alphabet is Alpha, and the last letter is Omega, English A and Z. It's not just that he's playing around with the alphabet and playing with the words. He means something here. In Greek, to say Alpha and Omega is to quote an idiom that was common in their day. From the beginning to the end, from the first to the last, all of it, every single bit of whatever it is you're talking about is the Alpha to the Omega. Bill Gates has all the money. He has the Alpha and the Omega of all the money. He has it all. So forget about getting any of it. All right? The Alpha, yeah, amen, please. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He has all authority, all power, all of time at his disposal. He experiences the past, the present, and the future as if it's the present. And here's the proof of that. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. Now that's interesting. Normally, human beings talk about time as past, present, and future. Who was and who is to come. Past, present, future. But here, we see the Lord God speaking differently. Who is, who was, and who is to come. Now, I was captured by some of the words here, and I spent most of the week ruminating on this. Notice the very beginning. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am. Where have we heard that phrase before? I am. The bush, the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. When Moses is encountered by God in the burning bush. God, from the burning bush, which did not burn, God said to Moses, I am that I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent you to me. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Another place Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. They got the Jewish people, the leadership, got mad at Jesus. Because he declared himself the I am. He declared himself God. That phrase, I am, is the very essence of God's personal name, Yahweh, the one who is. Okay? Well, when I heard and when I read, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first thing that hit me was, I am. The other place God said that was in Exodus, chapter 3, verse 14. And when I looked at that passage in the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, I saw something interesting. There God says in Greek, ego eimi. Ego, I, eimi, am. I am. At the beginning of Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, it's the same words, ego eimi. But that's not the only parallel. Where he says in Exodus chapter 3, ego ami ha'on, I am that I am. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he says, I am, ego ami, who is ha'on. Huh? Yes. Where it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is. Just chop out the part after the I am. I am who is. Ego eimi ha'on. It's the same thing. In other words, in Exodus chapter 3, we have the same words as Jesus is using here. Ego eimi ha'on. I am, I, and to use bad English, Rose, I am, I is. It just gives me squinches to say it, but that's kind of what it means. I am and I am. I am, I exist, I am. And the order in which he says that gives us a hint. I am now. And all of past and all that will be is Alpha and Omega to me, God said. I am and I'm in charge of all of it. Now here's where it hits us, Billy. We know the past. We know what we did wrong. We know where we messed up. We know where we wish we had done something different. We don't know the future. The future's a mystery to us. And usually we worry about the future. Well, my friends, Jesus said worrying about it won't add a single moment to your life. And here he says, don't worry about it, because just as I am in charge of the past, just as I am in charge today, so also I am in charge of your future. Not only that, God is today, more bad English, Rose. God is today, is yesterday, and is tomorrow. God exists yesterday and tomorrow as if it is right now. In other words, God is tomorrow right now for you. He's there right now for you, to use human tenses. God is in the future right now for you, with you, clearing the way, making the way for you. You're not alone there, and God is there ahead of you, making the way tomorrow clear and ready for you. God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, knows and is at every single moment of time, and He is making it ready for you. And that, my friends, is an aspect of His almightiness. The Greek word almighty, pantokrator, means all-powerful, able to do all the things that He wants to do, that He needs to do, that He actually does. Okay? And this Almighty God is with us, within us, guiding us, protecting us. He was with us in the past, even when we did not notice it. He is with us today, even when we ignore Him. And He is with us tomorrow, even though we're not there yet. My friends, that's good news. We're not alone. We will celebrate through the season of Advent the with us God, the God who is with us, Emmanuel, the with us God. We will celebrate that the with us God is coming to take us home to be with Him, just as assuredly as He sent His Son to be with us now over 2,000 years ago. We don't have anything to worry about. No concerns. No worries. All we need to do is celebrate being in the presence of God. And my friends, that's what heaven is about. Being in the presence of God. Worshiping God. Rejoicing in His immediate presence. And the great news of the Christian community is that we can do that here and now, because we serve a God who is, who was, and who is to come. A God who is every single moment on the timeline from the very beginning to the very end. And a God who is with us every single moment that we live. Yes, when we do the good things, and yes, when we stumble and fall. When we fail to do what He calls us to do, He is still with us, calling us, offering us His transforming touch. My friends, as we come to the close of this church year, and as we face the season of Advent, a time of preparation for His second coming and to celebrate and remember His first coming, as we look into Advent, May we, as the people of God, give thanks and praise that the journey we have made, we have not made alone. We have made it with God. The journey we are on this very moment, we make not alone. We make it with God, the God who is. And the journey tomorrow, wherever we may go, whatever we may be doing, the journey tomorrow is a journey that God is already making with and for us. That's good news. May the Lord bless us as we move into the new church year. May all that we do be done in the knowledge that we are on holy ground, and wherever God is, and God is everywhere, is holy ground for us. We are in a holy land, and we are called to reach out to others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the good news that the God who is here today for everyone, if only they will respond to the grace they have received and say yes in faith. My friends, let us make this new church year, this year beginning with this coming Advent, let us make this new church year an opportunity for sharing the God who is with everyone.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.